Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Every morning, Terry and Armstrong talk Big Brother, looking at the stuff from yesterday. All the drama, all the strategy and silliness from Vito to HOH. Every single season, you know he is the reason. You know what's happening. Rob said that he could do it. Tomorrow he will do it again.
Our live feed update for August 26th. I'm your host, Taryn Armstrong, and with me today is Dustin. How you doing, Dustin?
I'm doing well, Taryn. How are you doing today?
Doing very well. Doing very well. Did not spend a lot of time watching feeds yesterday.
No, well, we could recap, you know, reruns if you want.
That would be fun, yeah. You know, back in Big Brother 10, this happened. I don't know, I wasn't actually even watching the reruns.
Neither. I just waited for the notifications to see if it was back yet.
Yes. Well, we are here to talk to you about everything that happened yesterday on the Big Brother 20 live feeds. But the feeds were down for most of the day for the veto competition. So we're going to have to talk about what happened around that. A little bit of what happened during that. But we'll get to it. So let's get started. Let's go.
All right.
The veto players were picked earlier in the morning. Angela, Haley, and Fessy are obviously playing. And then Casey, JC, and Sam were picked to play in the veto. Haley got house guest choice. She was about to pick Brett when apparently Fessy said, no, don't pick Brett, pick Sam. So Haley said, okay, I'll pick Sam. And then she picked Sam. And so that is notable. Fessy makes this decision because he feels like, don't pick Brett, he's gonna win the veto. You pick Sam, she's less likely to win the veto. That makes it more likely that one of us wins the veto, and then one of us will be able to come down off the block. And that was Fessy's reasoning.
Yeah, and it's solid reasoning for in the moment, but if he had taken any kind of time to just think it through, like especially the scenario if Sam actually won the veto, then we have some problems on our hands. But in the moment, I can see if he's going to call an audible like that, like, okay, go with Sam, because probably she just won't even win. So I get it, but there are some problems with that decision. For sure.
Yes. And Haley is immediately going to find out about those problems. She goes and she talks to Angela and they make up a little bit. There's a lot of like hugging and I love you. But, you know, that's Angela's MO, is she kills with kindness and then with a icy cold heart. Angela says that, look, I had to make the move for my game. I just can't beat Fessy in these competitions. He's too good of a competitor. And Haley's like, Fessy? You can't be. I'm not the target? You mean you're targeting Mr. like 7 feet tall, great at competitions over me? What? This is so surprising to me. Why didn't I know about this? Why did nobody tell me I wasn't the target? I wouldn't have picked stupid Sam. I would have picked Brett so he could keep the nominations the same, because I'm going to stay over Fessy.
Yeah, she should have done that, and she should have seen that coming. But, you know, there is a world of thought where it's like, hey, you know, Haley is by far the smarter of the two of those options. So she would be the clear target if that was the decision-making process. But again, we're going from the standpoint of everybody wants to put it out there of what is the most obvious choice to everyone. And that is, who is the big, gigantic target? Not only is Fessy physical, not only is he capable in challenges or competitions, he's also coming off of a week where he made a very bold move. So it's an obvious choice to say, hey, you drew blood, now it's our turn. So she should have seen that coming, really. Again, this is a case of stop and think about it for a second. Don't just react in the moment. Just like think where everybody else is coming from, and then you can kind of reason why things would happen.
Yes. And really, like, the reason she thinks she's the target is because she still thinks that everyone is so mad at her for being the hacker. She still doesn't understand that nobody cared. But really, they should be targeting her because of her connection to Scotty, and the fact that Fessy is so easy to manipulate. But they're not. They are, in fact, targeting Fessy. So now she says she feels dumb for picking Sam. She's giving Fessy a better chance to win the veto. If Fessy wins the veto, then she's gonna go home, and so she's really regretting that decision. They're like, yeah, you really shouldn't have let Fessy talk you into that one.
Yeah if you give him any kind of advantage, then you're the obvious next target. And as much as they like each other or whatever it is they feel about each other, one of them, the way it's looking right now, one of them will be going home. So they both have to come at this from their own personal best personal own interests. And she just didn't do that. She was listening to what he said. He was coming at it from his own interests, and she listened to him on several occasions. And, you know, luck would have it that, you know, certain things are going to work out differently, but she made some mistakes.
Yes. So feeds go down for the veto competition. They are down for the better part of like 9 or 10 hours. Like
an alarming amount of time.
Yeah, like all day, basically. I think, you know, from pretty early on in the day to basically I went to bed before they came back up. yeah. So quite a long time the feeds were down. But we did see After Dark came on. While the feeds were still out, while they were still playing the veto competition, I assume they have some kind of, they feel some kind of obligation to show something on After Dark. So on the After Dark feeds, the feeds came up and we got to see Tyler and Brett waiting in the HOH room while the veto was still being played. So, we did get, some good Tyler and Brett conversation here.
Yeah, that's actually kind of interesting. It's, kind of a different perspective that you don't get a lot of times because of the timing of this competition, and because that, you know, Pop had to air during that time, we get this very rare look into what happens to the other people that aren't playing while the veto competition, while the other six are playing. And, you know, they're just talking their basic strategy and how they feel about each other. I think there's, you know, some stuff to talk about here.
Yeah, and like really, this should always be shown. I don't understand why they didn't just put on the feed of Tyler and Brett sitting there, because like this was some great stuff that we ended up getting because of After Dark that we would have missed. This is a hugely important conversation in the context of the season that we'll talk about. But also, like, they used to do this for BBOTT where they'd show them just in the rooms alone by themselves, and without that being shown, if BBOTT hadn't shown these moments of them waiting during a veto competition, then the true legacy of the Virgin King would never have been fully realized. Like, we would have missed out on the best moment of Big Brother OTT, which was Scott in a room, you know, talking about these growing up on these BB streets. Like, I'm shocked they don't always have the feeds on here, but they did. Because
you see, you remember the good stuff. I remember the bad stuff of Chrissy sitting alone in a storage room. So,
well, you don't have to watch. You can just pretend it's Fish or whatever. Yeah. But when the good stuff comes on, you want it to be on. So Tyler and Brett, they're up in the HOH room by themselves during the whole time for 9 hours. During this time, this is going to be a very unfortunate for JC, because JC ends up getting picked to play in this veto. And the two people he's been trying to pit against each other for the last couple of weeks are going to spend 9 hours together in a room alone. And during this time, they talk about JC and they realize, oh, he is trying to pit us against each other. What a sneaky little bastard. they end up making a final two, Tyler and Brett. Brett does say, you know, I was worried about being on the outs of you four, of the four. you know, I didn't know if you guys knew just how loyal I was to you. And, you know, I was playing with the other side, but, you know, I am still loyal. And so they make up, they're no longer going to be susceptible to JC's manipulation, and they make a final two. So like I said, very important conversation in the context of this season, because this could be very, very important.
Yeah, and this just comes right off the heels of Tyler admitting that his true final two would have been Casey. So I'm curious as to how much truth there is to Tyler's point of view in this. As you've mentioned a couple times, his ideal final two would be Angela, you know, out of that pack. But I think with Brett, it's way more of a toss up, because Brett has been a much more visible person, a much more vocal person. You can see, especially in his exit or his farewell messages, he has been very vocal to the jury members about what has been happening. So that's kind of dangerous for Tyler, against Tyler, from the jury perspective. So if there is truth in that final two from Tyler's perspective, he should be concerned.
Yes. And in case anyone is counting, Tyler has a final two with Casey, JC, now Brett, Sam, and I think that's it, right?
Yeah, I don't think he's got Fessy or Haley.
He's got a final two with everybody in the house except for his showmance, Angela, and Haley, with Fessy probably leaving. He has a showmance with everybody with two people, one of which is a showmance that he's in. And I don't think anybody else has any final two, like, with Fessy leaving and Haley being by herself, nobody else has a final two in the house. Tyler has four and everybody else has either zero or one, and that one being Tyler.
Which, for future Big Brother players, definitely have at least one. don't go in there with zero. Now, four is a different story. That's, you know, obviously you've got a lot of balls in the air to juggle. Pardon the weird reference, but it's a lot, and we're going to see if his chickens come home to roost with having to deal with all of that. But it looks like week after week, Tyler keeps getting his way. Level six keeps getting their way. So he is playing a dangerous game, but it's a smart game at the same time, very strategic, but there's a lot of luck involved. If anybody is ever wondering, like, whenever we have discussions about how much the percentage of luck is involved in the success of these very strategic players, it's a whole lot more than you think. And Tyler at the moment is very, very lucky.
Yeah, it's definitely a fortuitous 9 hours with Brett. Not that I think it would have mattered ultimately, because he was just going to target Brett. But now, if Brett does go after somebody, even though JC has been putting in work for weeks of work, JC has been putting into Brett, and Tyler is able to overturn it in 9 hours in a room with him. So not the greatest outcome for JC. However, he still has some hope. He's not out of this fight yet. But Brett, and the other side of this too is that if Brett actually did some work with Tyler here, if Tyler feels better about Brett and is less likely to go after Brett as early, then Brett could essentially replace JC as the number two front runner for the win, because Brett is very dangerous if Tyler turns his back on him.
Yeah, at some point, you know, beyond this conversation that they had in private, at some point the spotlight is going to be on JC and say, oh, he, you know, from Tyler's perspective, he is the next most powerful person. So if something goes crazy and they get rid of JC, all of a sudden, now Brett has this big shining light on him. Brett is by far the next best person, in my opinion. Like, so I look at these things of who would I want to win as a viewing audience member, you know, and number one right now, who I want to see win as like a whole entertaining season of Big Brother, it'd be Tyler. Then it would be JC. And then it would be Brett, which seems to be kind of the actual power rankings within the house themselves. So that's what we're dealing with.
Yeah, it's pretty nice. So
I like it.
So Brett also,
of course we're gonna see like Angela win.
Yeah, no, we're probably gonna see Casey or Sam win, given what Haley and Jesse were talking about. But let's not worry about it because I'm sure they were lying. All right, so so Brett asks Tyler if he's in a showmance with Angela. He's are you in a showmance? You're doing this thing. Tyler says no. I like her, yes. We cuddle, yes, but no showmance. Don't worry about it. It's not happening. Brett says, all right, just wait until the season ends, which is like what everyone is telling Tyler and what Tyler is telling Tyler as well.
Yeah, yeah. Everyone knows that there's definite chemistry there, and Tyler is super smart about it. He knows what he needs to do, but again, in every update this past week, it has been about, if you can please just wait till this season is over, you're going to get so much more value out of it in the game. Like you can do whatever you want with Angela after this game is over. Just don't do that right now. And it's good. It's good that he can tell Brett that there's no showmance and that if there was something there, he would wait till after the season is over, because Brett is a very charismatic person. He can kind of spread that message throughout the house because he genuinely is on Tyler's side. And for him to have that information and to casually drop that into conversations throughout the week is going to be really good for Tyler.
Yes. All right. So the feeds eventually finally come back. Casey has won the power of veto. I still have no idea why this took so long, but apparently the competition was were standing in front of some kind of weird tennis ball shooting contraption with like four different tubes that the balls shot out of, but they also shot squids or something. And so they had to,
it sounds like something from TKO,
right? They had to catch the balls when they came out of the thing, but you didn't know which one it was going to come out of. So you had to run and dive and try to catch these things. That was the competition. You would have thought.
Go ahead. Okay, what I don't understand is how does that turn into some sort of endurance comp that goes for 8 or 9 hours? Because at best, you're catching something, and then you're like, if you're catching tennis balls, then you're like putting it in a tube, and then like the first person to 9 tennis balls wins. You know, that should only take like 30 minutes. I don't understand. Is it the first person to get to 100?
Well, it was very strange. Apparently, Casey ended up winning with something like catching something like 30 something balls. And they said they dropped a lot of them. So maybe it was like they shot about 50 balls and there was a lot of time in between, like the racing HOH competition where you like wait a long time before it even says go. Maybe there were long periods of like no balls, just squids or something like that. And it was very messy, apparently very slimy. So that would you know, cause it to take a little while to probably like clean up in between. RJ in the chat says JC got 2 out of 75. So, okay, 75 balls potentially if JC was counting. And yes, Laura also mentions that maybe they had some technical difficulties as well. So, you know.
Well, after the HOH competition, I'm not surprised by that. But still, for production to come at this competition knowing that it would be like 8 hours long, that doesn't, like, that's what happens in like Survivor Palau, where they never expected these guys to stay up on the post for 11 hours.
Yeah, seriously.
You know, this is something that,
like,
yeah, they could knock this out in no time.
What's up with that though? Like, how can we get consistently like 6 to 8 hour veto competitions all the time, but we can't have endurance competitions that last more than 40 minutes? Like, what is with that? The logic is supposed to be that, like, oh, you know, they don't want to have to, you know, work for that long. Like, they don't want to have to man the cameras or whatever it is that, like, we can't have an endurance competition last for too long. It's too much work, but we can have a veto competition last 10 hours. We can have veto competitions in general last at least 5 hours every single week, but no, we can't have an endurance competition last more than 40 minutes because that would just be too crazy. I don't understand this at all. It's so dumb.
Yeah, and I think it all comes down to them having the, if there's an endurance HOH competition, it's going to be live on the feeds versus the veto competition where the lead the feeds are going to be locked out. And so whatever it is they do behind the scenes, they don't want us to see on the veto that makes it last so long. So it's, but we want to see that stuff. What they don't understand is we want to see whatever it is, even if the thing's broken. You can cut the fish every now and then and still show us what it is that's going on. We want to see everything. And I thought they would have learned that lesson from Big Brother Over the Top, but I don't know that they have.
Well, I mean, to be fair to them in this regard, I think the lesson they learned from Big Brother Over the Top is that the more you show people, the pissier they get about, like, oh, it's rigged because of this. Like, during Big Brother OTT, we saw everything, almost everything, and people, the conspiracy theories only got worse. You know what I mean? Like, people complained even more because they saw more. If you just take things down, they'll complain that they don't see things, but they won't be able to complain about all the little details that they would have otherwise complained about. People will complain regardless, unfortunately.
Yeah, that is a good point. But again, remember the atmosphere of when, what politics were happening during Over the Top, and you'll realize how contentious the internet was.
I remember pleading with people on Twitter, guys, don't complain. During OTT, we're getting to see this. Don't make them regret it. But I feel like they did regret it. So I don't think we're ever going to get that, unfortunately. We should, though. Yeah. We should. Yes, I believe Casey caught 33 balls, ended up beating Fessy by one point, one ball, the difference between Fessy winning and losing. And
there's a joke in there somewhere.
Yes, we finally have Fessy going into full on confused Eeyore mode, Fessy, because he's going to, I don't know who flipped. How did I lose that veto? I don't understand. I'm supposed to be the best at this. I'm like a football player and I'm like 7 feet tall and I still didn't win. What's going on? I'm supposed to be able to beat Casey at everything.
Yeah, but she's an actual football player, so she's definitely gonna win. You Fessy are a moron.
He was very, very upset. It's really, really took a shot at his manhood here that he is not able to win this competition that should be in his wheelhouse. He was so, so confident. Last week he was like, I'm not even going to touch those two women because they would never beat me in a competition. Casey goes ahead and beats him because of course she would. She is she was probably a lot better at football than he ever was.
An amazing athlete and he's just a big doofus.
So Fessy's finally upset, not because he's going home, but because he lost that competition to Casey. Haley is going to talk with Angela and Tyler. They are going to reassure Haley, you're all good. Don't worry about it. There's nothing Fessy can say. He's just too good a competitor. We need to send him home. You do not need to worry about a thing.
Yeah, and they're actually just talking to her straight up, like, seriously. Don't do anything stupid. Fessy is our target. And I'm sure in some ways that's nice for Haley to just be getting the information straight up. But again, she has to have something in the back of her mind. Like, the majority of the votes this season have been a blindside to her. So she's got to think that there's a very good possibility they're just telling me what I want to hear and it is me. But in reality, they're just saying, dude, chill. It's okay. Bye-bye to Fessy.
Yes. Okay. JC talks to Haley. JC lets her know that he also thinks Fessy's probably going to go home here. He's the better competitor, so they're probably going to send him home. Haley says, "Well, I'll have nobody in this house." JC says, "No. You'll have me. Don't worry about it." Cuz everybody wants JC as their ally. He's such a great great ally to have. So reliable.
Oh yeah. Oh, she'll have JC. She'll have JC feeding her bullcrap into her ear for the rest of the time she's there, but
yes,
he'll be her friend.
He does ask her, are you in a showmance with Fessy? Are you in a showmance? She says no. She says, well, if you are, keep your mouth shut about it. I don't care if you are, but keep your mouth shut about it.
Yeah, don't ask, don't tell.
Yeah.
You just don't do it, because that's just going to put a bigger target on you.
Any excuse to tell people to keep their mouth shut, JC will take up that excuse and be able to say, keep your mouth shut.
He loves pretending to be the mastermind. He loves like acting like, oh, I know what's best for you. And I think he loves having that little bit of power over her, especially this week, where she has been a very smart player in some regards, but now he has the upper hand. I think he loves that, especially over her and over Fessy.
Yes, he also talks to Fessy. Fessy said, oh, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go home. I just want to go home. I'm not going to campaign. I just want to go to the jury house already. JC's like, no, come on. There might be a battle back. You maybe you can get some votes. You can get Sam. Maybe, you know, you'll have me, you, Tyler, maybe. He's like, no, that's fine. I just want to go to jury. So JC gives up and he's like, well, do I have your vote then if I'm in the final two?
Yeah.
It's okay, like, dude, cool. You don't even have to ask that. Like, you know, like you're my friend.
Of course. JC says, all right, well, don't worry. I'll look after Haley for you. I'll look after her. Which, if
okay,
any,
cool.
If any
now other, that I know I got your vote, yeah, bye-bye.
If any other guy said that, it would not be good, but it's okay. It's okay if JC is able to look after her.
Yeah. Yeah, he's the least threatening person for Fessy towards Haley. Yeah, he doesn't have to worry about that.
Yes. So there you go. Fessy, he's out of the game. You know, for as much entertainment as Fessy was able to give us during the season, he is very much this sort of glass character, the very much a Devin type, where as soon as he's targeted, he just crumbles, and he's not going to give us anything else.
Yeah, the writing's on the wall for him. What a bookmark season for Fessy. He starts out invisible and gets the crap app, right? And then you've got all this crazy explosion of love and power and craziness. And then you're going to go out on a whimper. So it's definitely a bookmark season for Fessy. And let us also bookmark him for definitely for the challenge or the bachelor or something where he has to deal with people in romantic situations. That is definitely happening in his future.
I really did want him to win the veto so that he'd have to make the decision to either save himself or Haley. Just because that would have been more fun to watch. But, you know, what are you going to do? So
would that be like the first time that has happened since Marcellus? Like who, like what would he do?
I think he would have saved Haley.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Angela and Casey have a conversation. Angela's wondering, there's a lot of level six talk here, so I'm just going to kind of cycle through it. Angela's wondering to Casey, do you ever think Tyler has that third power app? You know, sometimes when we're talking about the veto, he's making it seem like maybe he's got something. Cause remember, I've been convinced that they knew he had the power up and they just weren't saying anything all this time, because he straight up said to them multiple weeks in a row, guys, just make sure I'm not on the block initially, and I promise everything will work out. I can't tell you why. Like, he's basically told them that he has this power app. And so I really thought they all, like Angela, just all just kind of assumed that he had it. But Casey's like, nah, I think he probably would have told us. And Angela's like, well, you know, it might be the kind of thing where, you know, like, it's better if you don't know. I think Angela's kind of felt this way, that like Tyler has it, but it's better that we don't know. And that he would use it to benefit us. But Casey didn't. She was like, nah, I don't think so.
Yeah. And everybody else, all the other powers, all the other, everything that's happened, the hackers, the powers, the apps, the crap apps, everything has been out in the open. And with Tyler, he's the one person that has kept it secret. And so they are assuming, they are working on the information that at some point it comes out into the open. At some point, everybody knows. He's done a heck of a job of keeping it secret. Even though Sam has all the information, somehow he's kept her from revealing everything. And so they don't even suspect it. Like, they think about it, but nah.
Yeah, and I think that when it comes out that he had the power all along, he will be able to say, well, guys, remember when I told you, like, I was going to use it to benefit us. We never needed it because of the hacker thing and everything. And then yeah. Fessy being a dum-dum, never ended up needing it. The only thing that could...
Right, it's not like he withheld it from a move that would... if he didn't use it, then somebody would be saved. It's not like he didn't use it to save someone. He just didn't use it because he didn't feel like he needed to share it.
Yeah, the only thing that could come back to bite him a bit is the fact that he did tell Sam about it, which might make his level 6 people be like, well, if you could tell Sam, why couldn't you tell us? But he'd probably be like, well, I was trying to get Sam's vote and it didn't work out. And but it could be bad for him. And who knows?
Yeah. Sam Pinky promised she was going to curb stomp me. So I had to.
Yeah. Yeah. They do have a level 6 meeting upstairs, multiple meetings, actually. They're going to toast to their success with Angela's wine. The have nots are finally done. There's a great moment there because they're trying to sneak upstairs to have the wine. There's a moment where Haley, goes upstairs too. And she comes into the HOH room. She's like, she's literally like Haley, who is, you know, who gets drunk on wine and ruins her game multiple times, pops into the HOH. She's like, I smelled wine. They're like, how did she know? Oh my God. She's got a nose for it.
Only a wino could smell it from a distance. She's like Sylvester the cat, or like some cartoon just like floating along to a beautiful scent of an apple pie on an open window.
Yes. Very, very funny moment there. But they do end up sneaking up there another time and toasting to their success. They also agree they're going to let Sam vote Haley out this week. They'll tell her where they're voting if she asks, but like they're not going to mislead her, but they're not going to tell her to not vote Haley out, which would be great for them if Sam voted Haley out, because it would keep Haley mad at Sam and remind her that Sam is coming for you. Don't target us, target her. She's coming for you. So that would be that'd be great for them. Yes. Dustin.
Oh, there. Hey, we're back.
You need to toggle your video because you just there you go. We're good. Yeah. We're good. Okay. All right. So and then also Brett is going to talk about again how he thinks there's going to be a battle back this week, followed by a double eviction next week, which he is completely correct about. But he's also completely correct in saying that we can't play assuming that's the truth, because you can't play based on what might happen. You have to just play based on what's in front of you. And so they're still going to try and take Fessy out and then just hope that he stays gone. But he is correct. There is going to be a battle back.
Yeah, and what's the worst case scenario if Fessy comes back into the house? He's a lame duck. What can he really do? I mean, so if they get Fessy out, he comes right back in. He gets power. I mean, does he go after Angela? I mean, I don't know. I don't know who he goes after, but I don't think he's going to make the power move that they think he could make if he comes back in.
I think
he's going to.
Yeah, I think he'd put Tyler and Angela up.
Yeah. And I think that Angela would go home in that scenario.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that he'd want Angela to go home. Brett is also going to have a conversation with Angela. They talk about how they've pissed off a lot of jury members. I think Brett is kind of flirting around this idea of like, hey, we've both pissed a lot of jury members off. Maybe we should be talking about going to the end together. They never come out and say that like straight up, but I think Brett is starting to try to put a little bit of work in here. Don't turn your back on Brett, because he just made a final two with Tyler, and now he's trying to work on Angela a little now that he knows a little bit more about where Angela stands. And he could be dangerous if you let him get to, if Tyler legitimately feels more comfortable with Brett now and he's going to lay off a little bit, this could be dangerous for him.
Yeah. Brett versus Angela in the final two, any of the level 6 versus Angela in the final two, it's a no bueno for Angela. And now that Tyler is, again, I want to see, I don't even know if they'll show, I don't know that they'll show the conversation between Brett and Tyler while the veto was going on, but to get his diary room of how he truly feels about Brett, and in terms of the final two, I'd like to know his truth, because that's a dangerous road to go down. Brett is so charismatic. Brett is so friendly. Brett is so out there and forward with his game. It is such a dangerous option for him. He's got it. Ooh, I hate it. I hate to say it, 'cause I love Brett, but I also love Tyler and want to see Tyler win. He's got to get rid of Brett, man. He's got to get him out of there somehow.
Be careful. Tyler is also going to talk to Angela alone. He really wants to sleep up there in the HOH room. He said he was going to, remember I talked about this, but he talks to her and it lets her know about his conversation with Brett while the veto was happening. And he's like, yeah, you know, we talked it over, we smoothed things, it was a good conversation. He did ask if we were showmans though, and she was like, oh, that's awkward. He was like, I denied it. I said, no, don't worry about it. I probably shouldn't sleep up here. I really want to, but we probably shouldn't do it. And she's like, yeah, you're right. They decide they're not going to do that. But Tyler does ask her out on a date after the season is over. Will you go on a date with me when the season's over? She says, yes. They're going to hang out in Hawaii. That trip to Hawaii.
That is what we did not see in Big Brother 19. That right there, Tyler saying, I want to ask you out on a date after the season is over. He's, both of them, Angela included, are able to contain their feelings and put the game ahead of all of that. And that, to me, no matter what happens, no matter who wins this season, I don't care. I will look at that and say, Tyler, you did the right thing. Like, that is how you play Big Brother. You are in immediate danger if you make yourself an obvious showmance with Angela. And you have now put that aside. You have worked it out with all the other people in the house. And you have decided, we'll focus on that later. This is what's most important right now. And yeah, no matter what happens, I will congratulate Tyler on that. That is a really good choice on his part.
Yes, there are a couple questions in the chat. As far as I'm aware, no, Angela does not have a boyfriend. So that is
nothing
not
that
true.
I've seen.
If Bailey came back into the house, her power is null and void. It stopped working at final eight. So right. Even if for some reason they had it so that it still worked when she came back, it would not work at final eight. And I don't think they would let it work even if it wasn't the final eight thing. And I think they probably this all like combines like I think there's a 0% chance that Bailey's power is still in effect.
Yeah, I would imagine it would be something like on Survivor. If you got voted out with an idol in your pocket, but you went to Redemption Island and came back, that idol just kind of got burned in the fire on your way out. It's something along those lines.
Yes. All right. So that happened while Tyler was up there with Angela. JC and Brett were talking, and JC was doing his best to convince Brett to go cock block Tyler. It's like, come on, we gotta go cock block. They did eventually go up there, but Tyler was a good boy. He went downstairs and he stayed down there.
Yeah, I mean, that's not even strategy. That's just them trying to have some fun. You know, like, look at this doofus up here trying to talk to this girl. Let's go mess him up. And honestly, that's just another thing in Tyler's corner. It's like, you guys pushed me downstairs. I'm not going to hang out with Angela. I'm sorry. You're my boys. Let's hang out.
Yeah. So that's it. That's what we got for you today. Anything else that you needed to bring up, Dustin?
I wish we had more. I wish that, you know, 9 hours of the day wasn't spent with this veto competition that we honestly know very little about the mechanics of. I'm very interested to see on the veto competition episode how this all worked and what happens and how close to American Gladiator or TKO it actually looks like and what the deal is. So I'm very, very excited to see that. And I'm very excited for the outcome of this week. I know that can we, if we can, talk about how we think the actual battle back is going to work? We're not going to have a dedicated Friday episode for it, right? Is it just going to be on the Thursday night eviction?
As far as I'm aware, yeah, there's no like specific like episodes scheduled for it. So that would sort of make me think that this is not going to be a tournament style thing.
Because we look at the name Battle Back, and everything we've seen with the name Battle Back has been the tournament style. You beat this person, you move on to the next round.
Well, versus did they call when Victor came back in the second time? Did they call that a Battle Back too?
That I don't know that they called that a Battle Back. That was just him winning a endurance comp,
right? Because it could be something like that. I can't remember if they called it a Battle Back. Let me know. Yeah,
I imagine it's going to be like Johnny Mac hanging on to the thing. You know, he hangs onto a thing longer than any of the other boots. And then he has the option to win HOH or just come back into the house. That's how I imagine it's going to go. But they're calling it the Battle Back. So when they call it the Battle Back, it makes it feel like it's going to be a tournament style, which means that they would have to pre-record it versus do it live.
Right. Assuming there's no separate episode for it, which I don't believe there is, then it would have to be either a Big Brother 16 kind of thing where they just like it's a crapshoot. It takes like a couple minutes to do, or it's incorporated into the next HOH competition. I would be a little bit surprised if it was endurance, considering the fact that we had the slip and slide followed by the perfect shot, which was supposed to apparently be on the feeds, like two back to back ones that were going to be on the feeds, even though they didn't turn out that way. It would be surprising to me if they planned for three competitions that could be on the feeds that were endurance ish, but it would have to be incorporated in somehow, I would imagine. So
if I was in production and we knew that, okay, Thursday night, somebody's coming back in the house. If I was in production, I'd prefer that it happen between the hours of 8 and 9 p.m. on the Eastern Standard Time. That's what I would prefer happen, so that everybody gets the shock and awe of this person's re-entering the house.
Well, I mean, I think one of the reasons why they're doing this is so that they can have content for the Sunday episode. So I would not expect
That's possible too.
I would not expect them to be done with the Battle Back. Or there's going to be at least you might get one, either the Battle Back or the HOH on Thursday night, but one of them is definitely being saved for Sunday. I would honestly assume both. But unless they like really have nothing, they might have no content since Fessy's just laying down and dying for Thursday. Right.
What are the odds of Fessy just walking through the swinging glass door, just coming right back in?
Well, considering the fact that it might be if we're talking about this Battle Back is going to probably either be a crapshoot or endurance, like some kind of like potential endurance, then I think Fessy has very little shot. Like if it's a crapshoot, then he's got just as good a shot as anyone else. If it's endurance, he's screwed. He's got no shot.
Big.
And so at that point, I would expect Bailey could have a halfway decent shot at coming back in. I don't think she did particularly well in the previous endurance, but I think she did better than Fessy and. Was she even competing actually? I don't even remember.
I don't know. I can't remember. I know my ranking right now on any given Battle Back or buyback is Scotty number one, followed by Bailey, then Fessy, then Rockstar, I think is in dead last.
Yeah. I think that's correct. I think that assuming that it's what we're saying and that it's either crapshoot or endurance, then Scotty has the best chance by far, followed by potentially Bailey, then Fessy. If it's some kind of like other physical competition, I don't know how they would incorporate that in, but, it would be interesting to see.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm excited. We'll see how it plays out. I'm very excited.
All right. Well, thank you everyone for joining us this morning. I will, of course, be live tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. Eastern to update you on everything that happens today on the feeds. Make sure you tune in tonight for the Big Brother, the nominations episode of Big Brother. You'll get to see Fessy and Haley Blindsided, and we'll be live after the episode to recap everything that happened. Tomorrow you'll get Summer of Stein, and Tuesday we'll do the LFC Roundtable podcast. We'll update the stock watch. We'll have a lot of fun with that. I'm sure there's lots to talk about, so make sure you tune into all of that stuff, and make sure you follow me on Twitter at Armstrong Taren. Dustin, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Dustin T West. Do it.
All right. And find me on Twitch as well. We have a lot of fun there. Yeah. All right. So thank you once again, everyone, for joining us. I will see you next time.
Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.